something, but I want to start in the right track. Tell me when it's pink and it's recording. Amen. Praise God. All right. So continuing on, Run Your Race. Hopefully everybody has a page, and I want to kind of go over the understanding of it, like I said, a review. We understand that all of us as individuals, remember, if we understand we are born with an already put in place purpose. Does that make sense? Every Christian should have that mindset and understanding of, I was already born with a purpose, so my goal is to grow to know God, to know my purpose. Where we've lost the way somewhere along the way, we've turned it into, I'm going to grow to see what I can be. Right? What I would like to be. We allowed desire to really kick in, and then we started making it more and more about us, and then we wanted God to live for us, and we wanted God to do for us, and you see how that whole concept works, which is very dangerous in itself. So our goal is to grow and understand what my race is so I can live for Him. We see that the race is not set up the way we think it should be. Okay, when he says the race is not to the swift, the fight is not to the strong, so on and so forth, he's basically saying, by sight, you're going to say, this person would be great in this position. Have you ever said that? You thought when this person's going to grow up, he's going to be. Have you ever done it because you see qualities in them, and then you look back and go, no, that's not what they did. In fact, they did nothing like that. And you're like, why? Right? And it's because God is saying, no, I didn't always make it that way. Just understand, it's, faith is just trust in me. It's going to fall into what he plans. So we're living by faith to do what he says, not how we see it. I think in many scenarios, we would have done things different than how God is doing it now. And that's why we have to trust in him, because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So he is the answer. We have some answers, but they're all wrong. But we would have done a lot of stuff different. Through each individual, his own race, it all comes together for one coach. Okay? I play a part, you play a part, and we all play a part, and we make one. Okay? But I got to play my part. All right? I don't beat you up because of your part. I encourage you on your part. You encourage me on my part. But we all play a part, and it comes together as one body. And that's why it's so necessary for us to encourage, for us to grow, for us to know and have that relationship so we can play our part. The reason why we're not doing what we're supposed to in that goal is, first of all, the distortion of the goal. We've seen that in 2 Timothy 3, where it says we're living for self so much today. We're so deep in living for self, we miss the factor of how to live for God. And we aim to distort the message. That's 2 Timothy 4. Where it says, time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And we're not. That's why we picked the Bible to make it fit what we want and how we want it. We distort the goal. So we started off last week on how to run to win. And like Paul, we all should live driven to serve the Lord no matter what we face now. I think a lot of us will face God, we'll serve God as long as. And then you fill in the blank. If you look at today, majority of people, see, we would have failed if we went through a fraction of what Job went through. And Job had a lot less than what we do. And we're failing now. There's a lot of us that are giving up, saying, I'm done. We quit. And God said, yep, I allowed that to happen. And you quit. Faith is gone. Do you understand that? While it should have been, no, I'm still going to serve him. God, I'm struggling with this, but I'm still going to serve him. Do you understand that? I'm still going to grow in him. Though he slays me, I'm still going to trust in him. Do y'all understand this? And it should be that idea of, my goal is God. So as long as you don't take away God, I'm still in the race. Do y'all get this? We go, it rained, I'm not running. Oh, I'm cold, it's not running. I don't feel like it, I'm not running. You understand? We put all these other factors in it. And you must prepare so you can run the race. Remember he says, you train not beating the air, not doing it for no purpose. You train in order to win the race in which God tells you and how God tells us to do it. So it's important for us to do it to honor and to glorify him. Now, where we last left off, and I want to go over that one verse again. It was, who remembers it? It was, thank you. Beware, be aware of false motivations. Did we go over that last time? So I want to do it. I want to do, there are only two paths and only two outcomes. I want to make sure we go over that again. Okay, so in the one right above it, Matthew 7:13-14, Matthew 7:13-14, and he starts off with the answer. And the key here is he's letting us know, and this is something that all of us should grasp, and you hear people who say it or see it, but we don't really engage it. And it says, enter through the narrow gate. Why? For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Now, if anybody doesn't understand this example, what this gate and road and all this in is life. Okay, I hope that's a given. Okay, and he's saying there's two paths, period. There are not multiple paths. There's only two. Either you take the godly way or you don't. Now, the godly way is narrow. He's saying there's going to be simplistic and their answers. That's it. What we like is variety. Amen. So, God, I still want to be a Christian, but I also want to do this, this, and this. I still want to be a Christian, but I want to do. And that's what you have a lot of that. We did self-defined Christian. But he already told you, if that's the road you're taking, I don't care what you call yourself. Guess where your ending is going to be. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Okay. So it's letting you know when he says enter the narrow gate, because he's saying I'm going to get you to the right place. And there's going to be few choices because he's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. So why do I need choices when I have the? Right? Okay? And we have the answer in all those cases, and that's what we're supposed to follow. And so the doorway I go into and the path I take has got to be smaller and narrow to where a lot of everything is in the Word, and a lot of times we read it and we're like, that's it? Exactly. Do y'all get this? Exactly. But I want that and this. So we're saying, no, I want variety. So we're basically saying, I want to go to the broad. You're already losing the race. He already gave you how to win the race. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? There was a guy who was training for a certain meet or whatever. And the trainer, who was an expert in it, was giving him the exercise he needed to do for it. And it was like three different exercises. He said, I need you to do these and follow this rule. But the guy was like, but I want to build upper body and I want to build this. So he started adding other stuff. And he was like, I'm the coach. Just do what I tell you, right? And as he did it, too much happened in other areas that hurt him in the event that he was supposed to run. Do y'all get that? Did he become stronger? Yeah, but it didn't help him in the places he was supposed to do it if he would have just followed what the coach told him. In the same way, that's why you'll hear us go, I know the Bible says discipline my child, and then that's where you blow it. I know where my role as a husband and my wife's role as a wife is supposed to be in the marriage, but then we go, and that's where we blow it. Do y'all get this? And we pat ourselves because we use some of the Bible, but then we got broad. And I also added some of this and some of this, and we think God's going, that's great. And God's going, nope, you already messed it up. It's no different than people that are not doing it at all, and at times worse. Amen? So we got to make sure we're truly following him based on him. He says, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. And few find it, not because it's hard to find, it's because we choose not to. Do y'all get that? We choose not to find it. That's our choice. So now, keeping this, I hope you understand that this whole race is a matter of choice. Everybody understand? Now, you hear me say over and over again, Christians, stop playing the victim. None of us are the victim. I know we like to think we're the victim, and that's what Satan wants you to think, is you're the victim. You know, poor you. That's what Satan, the first thing he did when he did Eve. No, God didn't. It's not going to make you die. He doesn't want you to be like him. He started giving the lies to make you feel like, yeah. And a lot of us live our lives with that. I deserve, and how come I don't have? Instead of realizing, if I got what I deserve, you know where we'd be. Okay, so the whole focus has to be on, I'm just going to do what he says because he's doing it for me to get to where I'm supposed to be. Amen. To follow that one thing that he's saying, that path he gave me. Now, be aware of false motivations. Very important. And this is a huge thing that's killing us. Now, I'll explain why it even exists. Colossians 2:18-19 says, do not let. Let me stop there. Remember I told you, it's a what? Choice. Okay? He says, do not let. So it's a choice if I allow what I'm about to read to affect me. Now, it's very easy because you'll hear Christians today go, if they didn't play this on TV and they need to stop doing this and we do marches to try to cleanse things, where's that in the Bible? Where does the Bible say, go cleanse the world so Christians can be cleansed? Anybody see that? Then why are we wasting our time doing it? Explain that. You know what I mean? Think of the stuff that we put our energy into, and you go in the Bible and you do know it's not in there. Some of the marches and some of the things we go through, it's not. We're wasting our time because he already told you that the world is destructive. What he does is prepare us so we can be the light in the world, to minister to the world, not be affected by the world. Instead of us doing that, we keep trying to cleanse the world, which, you know, where did he tell us to do that? So he's telling me, do not let. He's saying, Keith, you have the ability through trusting in him for it not to affect me. That's why I always tell us, your kids, no matter how much you try to keep it away, you get the parents that, I'm going to homeschool them, they're not going to watch TV, and I'm going to keep them here. And unless you have them locked away in their house until they become an adult and even keep them away, locked away there, if sooner or later, they're going to be exposed to the world. Now what? What have you done? You didn't prepare them, you avoided it. Does that make sense? What are they going to do when they confront it? You know, when I went to college, I mean, I got a chance to see both of them, both sides of that. Those who were in the strict areas, either they went crazy, wild, or they hid in their rooms. Do you understand that? Okay? Very ineffective, and they couldn't do anything. And even these are Christians, and people look at them, and the first thing they would say is weird or crazy, and they would use that because we weren't doing it the way the Bible said. We made up this way of, if I keep them away from this, and I don't let them watch that, and I don't let them. The thing is, no, you prepare them. You're going to see some stuff that's garbage. You're going to see something that's bad. I need you to know when to go, nope, I'm not going to watch it. No, I'm not going to do this. Let them learn this stuff based on God. That's why when he says, do not let, I want to make sure my kids, when they, you know, are affected by people in the world, I'm not going to let them bother me. Did y'all get that? Not, I'm going to go to school and make sure that kid doesn't bother my kid. No, I'm not going to let my kid be bothered by it. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? And it's the same way in which God is telling us, I empowered you not to let it affect you. So what is he talking about? Anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. In other words, you got people with some great stories. Probably don't see anything. Excellent stories. And some of us are in the wow, right? We get caught up into what they're saying, and next thing you know, we're following a lot of nonsense. And that's why some people get misled from the Bible, because they're following somebody that's an excellent storyteller. They'll tell you, this is, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. And they'll tell you this huge, fantastical story. And I'm not saying a lot of them can't happen, but most of them in that person didn't happen. But we're so caught up in them, man, now I'm going to follow this person and whatever they tell me, even though it may not be in the Word, I'm going to follow them. And they're disqualifying you because you're following them and not following God. Right? Like the Bereans, tell me that story. Next step, I'm going, hey, man, let me find that in the Bible. Do y'all get this? No, man. Pastor Keith told this great story, and I trust and I respect Pastor Keith, and it's a great. Do not do that. Never do that. Never allow them to mislead you. He was like, they will disqualify you if you let them. Y'all catch that? I keep stressing this, that you have the ability. Our naivety comes from us. It's not because we're the victim and we meant well and we tried. No, we didn't do what God told us to do. We did what we thought God should tell us to do. Right? We followed our own pattern. You get in the mess, that becomes you. That becomes your fault. He goes into it. He says, such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So in other words, instead of him being part of the body, this is guy running on his own thing. And like I said, if you hear the stories and you're not spiritually connected, you will be caught and taken away. And there's a lot of those out there. A lot of those stand in pulpits, and a lot of us are saying amen and we're excited about it because it hits nerves. Okay? Good story will always move you, Christian or not. You know what I mean? Am I right? Think about it. If you get you have you ever heard a good story or even seen a good movie and it hits you in the right nerve and you're just like, you know what I mean? You're sitting there watching some movies. I'm not saying it happened to me. Have you ever seen a movie and then it's something and then you feel the tears and you're like, I'm not going to cry. You know, I can't, you know, my friends are here and they're going to start talking. You know, but you get that because it was a good story. Somebody just knew how to tell a story. That's all it was. But you get people that now have learned how to do that and spiritually move you. You'll think, man, I loved what I heard. And that's why there's a lot of motivational speakers, because they're hitting those nerves, making you feel. Problem is, God's answer to you when you go, well, God, I thought, he's going to say, I told you, do not let. Do y'all get this? He's not going to go, yeah, I know, he tricked you. He's going to go, I told you, do not let. Make sense? My granddaughter comes to me and she goes, the girls are saying this about me. I was like, ignore them. And I keep embedding that. You ignore them. What does that matter? Is it true? Then what does it matter? Right? Then ignore them. And the more and more she did. And she said, even one time, the one teacher said, and she doesn't pay any attention. It took time. Now, I could have. We're going to go down to school and we're going to say this. And they better not say that to you. Once again, build them up, because that's what God is doing for us. That it can't touch me. The Bible says, resist Satan and he will what? Flee. Right? Did it say get a party together and go hunt down Satan and kill him before he tries to hurt? No. because you couldn't do it. It doesn't work that way. He gives us the protection we need. So when he starts off with do not let, he's letting you understand you're going to be confronted by this. This is how you handle it. Do not let. Amen? Okay? So in this race, understand, focus. You just run in this race. And then we have to reset all worldly motivations. Reset all worldly motivations. 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31 says, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for the world in its present form is passing away. Now, the key words in here is as if. Okay? Now, what he's not saying is, okay, husbands, act like you don't have a wife. No. The as if is showing us is none of these things can never, ever be the purpose. He says, now stop right now. It has to end there. God has to be the purpose. So let's break each of them down. He says, from now on, those who have wives, my purpose can't be my wife. It was never meant to be my wife. My purpose is meant to be God. And then that's how it teaches me how to be with my wife, how to love my wife. Do you understand? But it never for my wife. Does that make sense? Okay. He's showing the way we usually mess up, and most relationships mess up because we love straight one person of a person. The problem is you have two flawed people and it just makes the flaw double. Amen. But when I love through God, I allow him to filter all the flaw and I just give you God because God is love. Right. And then I do it the right way. You know, all my emotions and my stupidity and my and the Keith won't get in the way as long as I always make it go through God and come down before I reach you. It says those who mourn as if they did not. Doesn't mean you're not going to feel sad. The mourning can come from a loss of a person, loss of a situation, change in life. You're going to feel sad. Okay? But he was like, but that won't be the part or play a part in my life. This is why you hear me talk about emotions. Emotions are going to exist, Christians. You're going to feel. It's up to you if you let. Y'all see the difference here? All right? And what we've done is we have allowed what we feel to define what we are. And that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible lets you know you're going to feel, but you must be. That's why he says be. But you get a lot of Christians, especially in church today, who are depressed. Christians should not be depressed. I'm not saying you're not going to feel it, but you won't be it. When we live off the spiritual joy, the depression won't affect you. But the reason why you still see Christians suffering, because we're still living emotional. Amen. We're still engaging how we feel, not what he said. Even Jesus said, I am sorrowful even to the point of death. Y'all remember that? All right, Jesus, that's how he was feeling. But he went to God and kept focusing on God and let God strengthen him. What he didn't go was, I'm not going on that cross and this is crazy and these people don't listen to me. I'm going to go run away. And no. And he's our example to show you that he felt, but what he was different. Do y'all get this? Amen. So you're going to feel. Understand that. That's why it's saying those who mourn as if they did not. As if it's not, I'm still going to keep serving you, God, even though I may feel a certain way. Those who are happy, there's that feeling again, as if they were not. So it went to one extreme where I mourn to, here's another thing. Have you ever done something in your life and it made you feel really good? Right? What then do you want? Let's do it again. Let's go there again. I've seen more vacations ruined by somebody going on a vacation, really enjoying it. Now, every vacation has to be like that vacation. Right? I've seen people with food. I've eaten this at this one place and it tastes so good. Now every other place has to taste the way this one does. And you ruin missing an alternative or a taste or a difference. You understand that? Because you allowed your happiness to dictate. There's nothing wrong with enjoying something, but never let your feelings be your joy. Does that make sense? Okay? So you go into this thing and you go into things enjoying it and moving on. Not, I got to have that again and make sure it's always like this. And if it's not always like this, then I'm upset. You made it about you and you allowed your feelings to dictate. And just like the mourning was bad, you're allowing the happiness to be bad. Amen. Do y'all get this? All right. Very important. And it goes on to say, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. We buy stuff today and I'll see people that buy it and they'll be in there in their 90s and they're still cherishing it and hoping nothing happens to it and they're going to pass it on to their kids. One day that stuff's going to be worth absolutely nothing. You do understand that. I think you're going to take all your valuables to heaven. All right, God, let me show you. And you're going to be like, it's meaningless. It's all going to burn up with everything else. Do you understand that? If we really understood that, we wouldn't invest so much on stuff, right? You see somebody buy something, man. I see some people with cars, and you would think that car was the most precious thing. I'm not saying not to take care of things. But what I am saying is we make it our God sometimes, right? We'll own things. We take much better care than we do the Word of God. Right? Don't touch my shoes. Don't do this. You know what I mean? I remember when you couldn't get no white sneakers, man. That was it. Because somebody stepped on them, you were ready to fight, get kicked out of school, maybe kill somebody. I mean, it was crazy. Over white sneakers? Seriously? Right? And some of us are going, amen. That was me. Right? And y'all understand that. We allowed stuff to be more than what, instead of going, they're shoes. Amen? Huh? White shoe, that's right. Yeah. You know what I mean? That you allowed to get scuffed up. But the problem is, even in that, it's why we'll even spend $1 million on a coat or a shirt or something like that because of somebody's name, because everybody else is wearing it. And while you can get the same thing, to do the same thing that you wanted it to do, that's a whole nother sermon. But y'all understand that, right? We'll invest all this money and then we'll say, God, but I'm broke, but I had to have this wallet or this purse that cost more than my whole entire house. But this, you know, it's something that we don't recognize. Why? Why did you need that? Now, once again, it's up to you, between you and God on that, but you notice how we'll allow those things to be more valuable than God, right? You know what I mean? In which we don't use our wisdom. We still go after our own desires. And then it goes, then use things, and it says, those who use things of the world as if they're not engrossed in them. Now, what does that mean? There are certain things we do down here that we get comfortable with, and then it goes away. And then it just ruins everything. Right? Is there certain things that you used to do, certain shows you used to watch, certain places you used to do, a job that you were at for multiple years and now you got to change jobs? You know what I mean? A person in your life that used to be there and they're no longer there. We get into these things as if, as long as it's there, my life is set. And one day it's going to end. Y'all get it? Right? And you should tell your kids, you know, when as they're growing up, one day I may not be here. You understand? Prepare them for that. One day. Something may change. My health isn't the way it always was. Why was I living like it was going to be? Do y'all get this? You understand? Things are going to adjust. Things are going to change. So a person goes through it and deals with it, preparing for it to change tomorrow. Not, why can't everything be the same? Amen? Our adjustment. So all of this he's showing us, he's giving us the answer because we made the things the purpose. And this is how we miss out on God. All right? When God is the purpose, all of these things, no matter how they change, will never affect us. But every Christian, as I'm reading this and as you heard me go over this many times, we'll go amen, but we still do it. We still do it and we still lose it. We keep losing the race. Why? Because these things matter more because they are the purpose. Definitely study that. Make sure you go over that. Make sure that's something that's embedded in everything that you do. And then we must make Christ the sole purpose. So after all those other things of getting rid of the things that we've made the purpose, now we have to make Christ the purpose. Philippians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my friend, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, watch this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Once again, we kind of read over that and go, amen. But do we really understand what that's saying? The mindset that we are supposed to have as Christians is, I want to make sure I'm doing it and I'm doing it exactly the way he wants me to do it. We like the, well, I tried. God loves me, right? And if you really look around, we're really not making the effort that we should, right? You know, we would be deep in the word, growing in the word, knowing the word, studying the word, applying the word, getting rid of self. This would be a daily or even hourly process. We're lucky if it's a yearly process. But the only time we try to make a change is when we're making a New Year's resolution sometimes. Right? If we're being honest. Then the rest of the times we'll go, that's just the way I am. Right? We make excuses and we're not living our lives with fear and trembling. Now, when we hear that, we go, I don't want to live with fear and trembling. It's not a timid fear. It's a respect fear. Does that make sense? You want to hear your kids go, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't want my mom to, or I don't want my dad to. Do y'all get this? You want that type of understanding, that reverence. You want that thing of, if I do this, man, am I in trouble. Today, like I said, you get a lot of kids that go, I'm just going to keep trying them because they're eventually going to let me do it. And parents do. Parents give in. You know, this time I'm going to, all right, this time I'm going to, and this times don't work. Do you understand that? You got to be consistent, and as the word is showing us. And that's why it says, because you're training them with God, and now you got these young adults, and you even have older adults, who are doing the same thing to God. Well, you didn't do anything this time, so I'm going to do it again. You didn't do anything that time, I'm going to do it again. And we just keep doing it, living our own lives. We apply God as if God's going, yeah, that's great. Not realizing one day you got to answer to him. Instead of realizing one day I got to answer to him. Y'all see the difference? How are you going to answer him? Because some of the answers I'll hear, some of the answers I give, I'd be ashamed to say them. Come on. Some of the excuses you're giving for life, are you going to really say that to God? Well, God, this is what was going on. Seriously? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have everything I need, and I'm going to give him these excuses. Right? Would that work? Amen? Would that work? And that's going to be the problem. You know, the main thing is we have to make sure that he is the sole purpose. That's why it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, here's why. The thing I love about this, he's giving the answer why. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. In other words, he's saying he's doing all the work. Allow him to do all the work. Where we keep messing it up is we keep moving. We keep getting out of the way. Instead of going, when I say stand still, stay still. Does that make sense? You know, my brother-in-law had to cut our hair at one time, and he said, I'm getting ready to cut up hair. He said, I'm not the greatest. Be still. I wasn't still. I had a bald cut after that, or I would have had a big bald spot. Do you understand that? Okay? It's a good example because he said, I said stay still. Why was I moving? My thing should have been, he told me to stay still. And that's how, when I read in the Bible, he told me to do this. Got it. Why do we have all these other excuses? Why do we keep doing all these other things? Why do we keep moving? Amen? And he's saying, be still, because God is working. He's doing something that in the end you're going to go, man, I'm glad you did that in me. But we're not still. You understand? We keep moving. We keep trying to add to it. We keep trying to tell him what to do. And this is where we blow it. It is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. God knows what he's doing. So, and then we have to keep working towards the goal and not lingering in the past. Please understand what this means. A lot of people use this wrong. We use it sometimes to our advantage when we want somebody to forget or other things. It's not, this is giving us a strength in how our focus is supposed to be. That's the main thing this is saying. That's why in Philippians 3:12-14, Paul's inspired to say, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus, for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now understand this, that when he shows us that he is stretching forward, he's saying, and he started off, not that I already got this. He's saying, I haven't already obtained this. I still got a lot more growing to do, so I'm going to live to grow. Right? A lot of us will do this, and that's why, well, let me read this first before I explain what we end up doing, going in the wrong way. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So the key is, and the forgetting, and the key word in that, and what that is saying is not just forgetting, is not allowing it to play a purpose. A lot of times we've made mistakes, we made dumb decisions, we made dumb things. Okay, learn from it, move on. Sometimes we wallow in it. Well, if I would have just done this and that, then I wouldn't be where I'm at. How many of us do that? And did that fix anything in your life? All right? Absolutely nothing. But then you give that, but see, if I would have just, you can't now. The next thing is, what do I need now to get to where I'm going? Does that make sense? Right? You know, we're losing. If, you know, think of it as a sport. We're losing. Do you go, man, if we wouldn't let them score? And that's what happens. You see teams sometimes when they're getting beat on, they already lost because they're broken. I can't believe we let them do this. When you have a team that forgets all that and act like this is a game, and you'll see them make comebacks and things like that, that's how we're supposed to live. Does that make sense? Stop lingering. Well, if I had this, if I had a family that had this, if I had money like they had, if I had an education, all that's nonsense. What do you have right now? Do you have God? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then go forward. And not just go forward, strain forward. Stop lingering in the past. It will get you absolutely nowhere. He was like, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So my whole goal is to do what he wants me to do. And that's my goal. It's my whole thing of, I may have messed up. I may have tripped up. I'm straining for what he would have me to have. And understand, in the end, all races define one way: live for God. Okay? So even though we all have different races in different parts of the body, we all have the same ending if we're following that. 1 Timothy 6:11-16, it says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." This is one of the verses that kind of helps on why we're supposed to study every day, because the pursuing is what I should be doing every day. Because remember, you know, even in my livelihood, what did he tell me to do that God provides for me? The only thing to do to stay in his provision is seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Isn't that what it says? Easy as that. So we should be focused on, how do I seek first his kingdom? What does that mean? I got to get another job, make sure I get another degree, I got to make more money, I got to store it away, got to have this. We do all that because we act like that's what's going to protect us. That's what's going to save me. Do you understand? Okay? Not realizing, no, he told you the answer to that. Okay? And we miss that. So we have to pursue these things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And the importance of this, all of these are little Bible studies in themselves. Because he told me to pursue it. If I were to ask each of you, what do each of these mean? You might be able to give me some nice little answer. But if I asked you, in every part of your life, show me righteousness. Every part of your life, show me godliness. Every aspect of your life, show me faith. How about love, endurance, gentleness? Very powerful one. A lot of us will get, or you give me your definition, which is wrong. Do y'all get this? That's why I got to pursue it to have the right one. Does that make sense? For every one of these, there's a fake imitation. Everyone, there's multiple fake imitations in which people may say the word, but they're not doing the right one. Okay? And that's a good challenge for each and every one of you, to go through each of these topics and make it a good thing. That's why he says then in verse 12. Now watch what he says here. Fight the good fight of the faith. Now why does he say that? Because a lot of us are fighting worthless fights. Did y'all catch that? The fights we're battling, the things that we're allowing to consume our lives, meaningless. You're going to like, I wasted my whole entire life fighting over this person that didn't like me, fighting over this job that I really didn't need, fighting over this look that the world said I'm supposed to have, fighting over all this temporary stuff, a lot of stuff that consumes your life right now, that's going to go away, meaningless fight. Come on. How many of us are wasting our time on something that even if you got everything you want out of it, then you're going to go, okay, now what? What did it really do? Seriously. And you're going to go, I wasted all that time. He said, no, the fight you should be fighting is the fight of faith. God, I'm a little further in what you had me to do. God, I'm a little closer in how I'm supposed to be with you. That's a command for us to fight the good fight of faith. So he's not just giving you a cheer, fight the good fight of faith. He's saying, stop fighting these worthless fights and fight the good fight. Okay? And unfortunately, in the world, majority of us are fighting worthless fights. We're fighting things that we think we're pursuing something. And I can assure you, some are going to learn the hard way. Some will get it. It's almost like climbing Mount Everest. And they'll do it. And they'll be happy, put that flag up there. Some lose fingers, some will lose lives, and all that other stuff. Come back down. Now what? Are they any better than... Y'all get where I'm going with this? What just happened? Right? It was a thing. It was an achievement. Okay, that's nice. But we took up a huge part of our life for that worthless fight. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who will, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you hear the word pure in the Bible. Basically, keep what he says. Stop adding to it. And I always get that. I do hear people that'll know this part of the Bible, and then you get this other junk. And you go, where did that come from? Get rid of that stuff. This extra stuff you're adding is not any good. God is not going to honor it because you knew some of the Bible. He wants you to do just the Bible. Only the Bible. The minute you add to the Bible, it's just as bad as not doing the Bible. In fact, it's worse. Okay? Because it misleads you, makes you think you're doing more. That's why he said, keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing. So in other words, do just what he said. Stop adding or taking away from it. Amen? Which God will bring about in his own time. God blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be the honor and the might forever. Amen. That ending is so important because if you really think about it, we make this life about us. Some of us, I think, when we get to heaven, he's going to put us on our own throne and he's going to say, okay, I'm going to go sit down because you're the real king. Because that's how we lived. We act like God made me so I can rule, so he can serve me. A lot of people treat God like a genie. Am I right? You think about it. We treat God to make me what I'm supposed to be. And I've even heard people say, you know what? I'm done. Seriously? Now, God loves you and that hurts him in that way, but who ultimately is it going to hurt? It's one of the most foolish things, but I hear it more and I even see it more. I see people who physically do it. Does that make sense? You'll see them just leave. I did this for God and he didn't do this, so I... And you're kind of... Are you serious? Okay. But remember, when it ends, it ends. Amen? Everybody understand that? So finally... We all should strive to have the victorious ending. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought the good fight. So this is Paul saying, like, I've done the fight. The fight that I'm fighting, I can show you. He's saying every aspect of my life, you can see when I got to that point. Now, remember, even though I said every aspect of my life, we know there was a time where Paul was the worst of the worst. He was killing Christians, right? So you knew that. And Paul didn't harp on that. He strained forward. And so he said, I fought the good fight. And that's how we're supposed to do it. Letting go of what I was and be what I'm supposed to be. And then I can say I lived every point of my life from this point on towards God. He said, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So Paul's showing I did my part. He can actually say I made it to where I was supposed to make it. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also, watch this, to all who have longed for his appearing. This race is so important, and this race is your life, okay? We need to refocus, and some of us just need to get focused in order to run the race that he put us in place for. Stop making excuses. Stop getting caught up and getting lost and all these other things that are going on out there, and start growing and living in him. Amen? Any questions? Amen? All right. Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, once again, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Thank you so much for your instruction and the guidance of your word, dear God. You give us all we need. Help us to stop adding to it or taking away from it. As your word says, do not go beyond what is written. We want to walk in your ways at all times, living and shining your light, dear Lord, and running the race that you provided for us. So as we leave out of here today, let us become a blessing to all we come in contact with. Let us minister with our lives and everything that we say and everything that we do, and never let the circumstances or surroundings dictate how we're supposed to be. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise, and we just thank you so much, dear God, for all that you continue to do. We ask you to get us home safely. Help us to just grow and as we wake up tomorrow in you, dear Lord, just being all that we can be to bring more and more to you as the time is getting short. We love you and we thank you, dear God, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say amen. Thank you all.